Hello and welcome to the Bailey and Harding Ultra Sound System. I am Anna Harding.
I am Ali Barkley.
Oh.
Yeah. We've got a special guest, haven't we, Anna?
Too soon.
Hello.
Maybe that was too soon. Hello. Who's
that? My name's Damien, and I'm here to totally ruin the dynamic of your usually excellent podcast.
Usually excellent.
Usually very female.
Now, my first question, Damien, was going to be, you okay, hon? But as you just described the podcast as usually excellent, I imagine the answer to that's no.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thanks. How are you two?
We're good. We haven't just taken on the hardest thing in existence for any ultra trail runner, though.
So I did. I just did. I put on my shoes, a bit muddy, and then I forgot that my watch was upstairs. I had to get up the stairs without any mud being put on the stairs. And I think for the trail runner, that's the hardest thing to do.
Actually, I'm going to better you with that because I just tried to put on my shoes and that at the moment is just impossible. Preggers belly, no.
Preggers belly, that's your new name. Anyway, I did a little intro for you, Damien, and I did think that I'd be really horrible, like just be mean, but then I thought I won't. So for those of you that don't know, we are lucky enough to be joined by a legend of the sport, and Damien Hall. Damien is an author, an activist, an athlete, and a keen amateur runner. He's also a friend of the pod, and he's just come back from America where he did a loopy-de-loopy race where he was beaten by a girl. So we thought we'd get him on to talk about that and do our usual Wimbin getting the rims, or whatever it's called, and see how it went, basically. So welcome, Damien. We hope that this is a safe space where you can say anything and you won't be judged, okay?
I'm speechless.
That's not good for a podcast, Damien. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes. I don't know where to start, honestly. I'm slightly distracted. I am rifling through some book pages. People listening to the podcast can't tell because is Pickle around?
She is around. She's just down here. She's got a marrow bone at the moment that she's been sent by a fan.
I'm not necessarily including Anna in this, but yeah, not getting an entirely sympathetic audience here, but I thought Pickle might enjoy. So the theme of this race I just did was, where is it? If they did this to dogs, we'd be thrown in jail. And a lot of the books were dog themed.
Were they?
Amazing. So I've got the best three here for you. Where the Lost Dogs Go.
Have you read that, Pickle? No, I haven't read that one. She's not read that. So if you could send that page over, that'd be good.
Put it on your book club. Is Pickle in a book club, I imagine?
Yeah, she actually runs a book club.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. The Dogs Who Found Me.
The Dogs and Who Found Me.
The Dogs Who Found Me. And there's one about a leader of a pack somewhere, but this one, Bad Dogs Have More Fun.
Oh, that sounds like a great
book. Yeah, I wrote that one. Did you, darling? Yeah, Bad Dogs Have More Fun. Oh, lovely. What'd you say to Uncle Damien? Thanks, Uncle Damien.
That's all right. So I can't remember what the question was or what we're talking about. But
the question was, are you okay? And I think that this has proved you're not.
I'm a cat person. I think I'll stay that way.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks so much for coming on. should we do our little wind room get in the bin? We're not going to do ours. You're going to do yours, friend, because we did ours on Saturday. I think this provides quite a good structure for you to be able to explain. We know that you can't tell us everything, but we want you to tell us everything. Okay, so if there was a win from the Barclay for you, what was that?
For me, by the way, I take it Jasmine said no to you. That's why I'm on.
Sorry, who's Jasmine?
100%.
We can't talk to Jasmine. We'd be too starstruck. We'd just stare at her.
Oh, so I've got no stars. You just, it's easy. Right. Yeah. Just the insults keep coming. Well, there was a win, yes. Well, just before the Barclay, I discovered Yorkshire tea with the biscuit flavour.
Oh, where have you been? Where have you been?
Have you already discussed this?
No.
To listen
not,
to?
Not on the pod. I've been drinking tea biscuit tea since biscuit. Lockdown. Tea biscuit.
Since lockdown?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. I feel like I've wasted 4 years of my life.
You are very late to the party. Do you know about the jam and toast one?
I do know about it, but I haven't tried it yet. Does it
Also
compare?
great. Also
Really?
great. Yeah.
And there's a Jaffa cake one, but I don't think that's Yorkshire tea.
Oh, then we're not going to go near
Is there
that.
a fucking Biscoff one? I bet
Oh,
there
in the
is
works. It's got to
in the
be.
works, yeah. It'd be
It's got to be.
a collab between Damien and Yorkshire Tea.
I need to leave now and get started on that.
Yeah.
But I've only recently tried that tea, and it is amazing. I thought it would be a novel tea, but actually,
Oh.
see what I did there.
Fancy.
But actually, it's brilliant, isn't it? And is that Anna? Is it your go-to? Is it your first choice of
Yeah.
a party?
Yeah. And in fact, I would say that it's the one thing that I miss the most since being pregnant is that I can only have one cup a day. How
Oh
does that make
gosh,
you feel?
why?
Oh, for
Caffeine.
things. That's amazing.
Don't worry about that. I wouldn't worry
Makes
about
That's tougher than the Barclay giving up tea.
Yeah.
Kudos to you, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you put milk in it?
Yeah.
It just sounds gross.
It's not,
All
honestly.
I can imagine
Maybe
is
you don't
like,
like Biscoff, so I mean,
no, I don't
you've
like
got no
wet, you know, I
credibility,
don't
but.
like wet bread or wet biscuits. So anything that's like that texture that's wet. So when I was drinking it, I would be expecting a lump of biscuit to be in it, and it would just be it'll be hell on earth.
I mean, you can add extra biscuit and make
No.
it. Yeah.
Anyway, so your win is that you found some Yorkshire tea that was biscuit flavoured.
Yes. And well, did it have to be mine? I saw Jasmine Paris do quite a good run. I was there. That was good. I liked it.
Damien's clearly been listening to this podcast where we just steal other people's thunder as our own wins.
Oh, actually, yeah. Well, yeah, I can totally claim. I coached Jasmine, so I mean, it's totally down to me.
A
I mean, she's
hundred
amazing.
percent.
She's not much of a runner, really.
So if you coached Jasmine before you went, did you get on the plane together? Did you go together? Did you meet at Heathrow? Did you go to Pret at Heathrow?
Not ex No, but we stayed in the same digs with one or two others.
So what, as a coach, in your last coaching session before you left, what did you say to her?
I don't know if I can give away secrets on,
No,
live.
you will. You can and you won't.
If I'm totally honest, when it's Jasmine Paris, I let her do, I don't offer too much advice because she's quite good. So I say, you're good, do your stuff, really. I don't think I should meddle too much with someone who's the best in the world.
Don't meddle with perfection. So with the this, so obviously you went last year, you did it first, it was the first time you did it last year, and then you went back this year. How was it different this year? In like, were you more confident? Were you like, do you feel like you know the course? Like, how is it different?
I think the different feeling is, yeah, you kind of, yeah, you should have. You can't recce it outside of the race, really, or other than a tiny bit. So yeah, having done some loops is a huge, huge help. But then of course he changes it. So I'd spent a lot of time online as well doing research, using Google Earth and stuff. There's a particular section that is very messy and it's worth researching. And I spent ages on that. And I had a good friend, my good friend Jody, a Canadian, had set me exams, to try and get to know that bit. And then of course he took most of that bit out. And added a new, much worse bit. So it's, yeah, the same but different. And I did feel a bit different in that when it's the first time, you're like, wow, it's the Barclay. It's really hard, but wow, it's the Barclay. And second time around, you're like, it's really hard. And a bit of that, yeah, fun novelty has gone. But, still had a blast mostly.
So that bit that you were telling us about that was like the new bit, the really hard bit, is that the Rusty Spoon by any chance?
It's the worst terrain I've ever tried to move through. So it's steep. I mean, most things in Barclay are steep, and there are sawbriars, and there are high wall. They call them high walls, which are like natural cliffs. So you have to try and find a way around them. The instructions will be like, one of the ways round is better than the other way round. And then it won't say which way.
Pickle helped to write the instructions this year. One of the ways round is better than the other way round. Thanks, Pickle.
Thank you, Pickle.
Brilliant. Perfect.
And yeah, sawbriar is steep. Yeah, often get a feeling you're just about to start sliding back down. You're getting cut up. You're off trail. You're confused. You're tired. It's brilliant.
Sounds amazing.
This is an amazing quote from something that I read from this year. Rusty Spoon, it was a climb so steep, so full of briars and so long that Naresh Kumar described it as rat jaw on cocaine.
Yes, except Rat Jaw has a clear path. This didn't. Yeah, it was quite something. It was quite something.
So when you get to bits like that, is it more a case of you're like rock climbing? It's like bouldering. Is it that steep?
I guess at times. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, at times. Yeah, I mean, it does feel dangerous sometimes.
Yeah, like how long do those sections go on for? Like,
they're not long, I would say. I'd say, yeah, you're not scrambling. It's not quite Rib Gok sort of, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are cliffs, there are natural rock things to climb up quite frequently. And I did do a little tumble off one of them at one point. I was all right, but some people were quite surprised that I was all right. So yeah, it's risk. There's some risk. It's quite, but that keeps you, keeps you awake.
You know what Laz needs? He needs to get Stuart Smith on this. Can you imagine?
Oh gosh.
If you were down, just like, yeah, but if you were just scrambling up in the middle of the night, suddenly you hear, ew! And there he is, in his little orange bivvy with a brew.
Oh, I
oh no, you don't want to go up that way. No. Brilliant.
And he's
so much better.
Big Paramo smock or something and a cup of tea. I would have loved to see Stuart. I would have hugged him to death.
I think that he's the natural successor for Laz, if I'm honest. Right, so let's talk about the grim bits, like the bits where you're just like, no.
Why am I here?
Yeah, because there's got to be some bits where you're just like you got to the, I mean, I don't really want to go into it. I feel like I don't want to upset you, but like that, it must be shit.
You do want to upset me, don't you?
No, we don't. That must be shit. Like that realization that fucking bullshit, this is bullshit. Like I'm not going to make it. Must be shit. So let's steer clear from that for a minute and talk about like what were the grimmest parts of it? What are the parts that you haven't heard people talk about? Or we haven't heard people talk about where you're just like, it's gross and horrible and awful.
Well, yeah, almost all of it is kind of steep in the woods and loose. But sometimes that's quite good fun, especially on a downhill. And then, yeah, you get the previous year, the sawbriars hadn't been much of an inconvenience, if I'm honest. This year, because of the new section and the rat jaw section hadn't been mowed this time, and they are head height on there. So, yeah, you could spot the three Brits on the first loop because we had short shorts on and scratchy legs because we were worried about overheating by putting tights on. But I put my tights on for the next loop. So
how much protection are you going to get from tights though? Because like, the briars like hook onto the tights and then they're in the tights.
It does help a little bit. I've got lots of holes in my tights now, but it does help a little bit. It does take a bit of the edge off it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess really the grim stuff starts. So loop four is always the sort of slow loop when things fall apart. Both years for me, it's been mostly in the dark. And yeah, you're just very, very tired by then. And you might be struggling to keep up with people, struggling to navigate. And it's confusing, and maybe you're hallucinating, and yes, sort of everything feels against you, everything feels difficult. Things that made perfect sense before navigationally don't make sense anymore. And obviously, yeah, it looks the same, it looks the same almost everywhere. So it's quite confusing, and you're like, no, it's got to be this way. No, it can't be this way. I'd say that's the grimmest point is that, yeah, loop four, you're very tired.
Were you with anyone on loop four? Were you on your own?
Yeah, I was still with John and Ihor, the Ukrainian who finished for most of that loop. But they would, and I must admit, I was hanging on to them a bit. I was more tired, but even they were starting to make mistakes. So I sort of lost trust in them, and sort of let them go on. I let them go on and sort of thought I'd be on my own because it's about time I sort of did some on my own.
Did you have a fight with them? Okay. Was there actually a fight? Please say there was a fight, like a little tantrum.
I tell you what, if there was any fighting and tantrums, it was quite awkward on the first loop. Normally only the first book is a sort of fight for pages because people are still quite close. But for most of the first loop this year, there were like 15 runners at the book at the same time. And everyone wants their page right away. And everyone
what, like seagulls, like pecking at the
yeah,
book?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Whoa.
And, you don't always behave as you'd like to, I suppose. Or, the Brit in me is like, after you, and then you suddenly realise, well, hold on, I've just let 10 people go ahead of me and they've all run off now and I'm 5 minutes behind everyone now. So it's hard to balance that with your own what's fair for you. So that was unpleasant actually on the first loop.
Wow, I just imagine that everybody would be really like, oh, okay. And then, oh, hang on, what number are you? Number eight. Okay, here's your page. I just imagine that there would be someone divvying them up.
Later on, it's like that when it's only groups of four, five, six. But when it was a group of 15, 20, yeah, there's a real fear of being dropped, being scraped. And yeah, it's a bit of a squabble. There'll be three hands in the book at the same time pulling pages. You expect that on book one, but not the others. So that was, yeah, it was a bit, yeah, a bit uncomfortable, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
You want to stick up for yourself, but you want to be polite as well. So I just elbowed everyone out of the way, pushed them down the cliff, and it was fine.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're British.
We all know that you waited there with a single tear in your eye. Did you sleep? Did you go to sleep?
No, there wasn't time, sadly. I planned, both years I planned to sleep, and then it hasn't been an opportunity.
No, nothing at all?
No, not until I was sort of out of the race, but still on the course. And then I lay down for a bit, and it may have been 10 minutes, it may have been 2 hours. Not sure. It all gets a bit confusing towards the end.
So give us a little like quick lap do that of like how you were feeling. When you went into it, were you like, I'm going to finish this? This is something that I'm going to finish. How confident were you?
Yeah, it's a good question. See, I did an interview with the Innovate for their website, and they said, am I confident? I don't think confidence is the word. I don't think you can go into Barclay feeling confident because there's so much against you. I guess I felt hopeful. Like, you know, it felt like the pieces were in place. And like the previous year, physically, I'd been up to it. And mentally, I'd wanted to continue. It was more of a sleep deprivation combined with a navigation fail at a crucial time. So I felt hopeful. And yeah, the first loop went really, really well. I felt great. I was climbing strongly, sticking with John and people at the front. Jasmine was with us, I think, all of that loop. So that was great. Four or five of us finished together. Went out in the second loop, still feeling good. But then, yeah, it started getting warmer. The afternoon was warm. Didn't like the warmth.
Owning minis. It's too cold. It's too warm. Jesus Christ. Too briary. It's been mown. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
How warm was it?
Stop complaining. Oh, not mega warm, but like, I suppose, I think 15 to 20 kind of thing, but like a lot warmer than we're used to at the moment.
Yeah.
So not, yeah, not over 20. Then third loop. Yeah, I can't really remember that one. I think it went fine. And at one point around then, yeah, with Jasmine dropped off us a bit. And she, yeah, she's so nails. I know I'm sort of stating the obvious, but a couple of things happened. Like, I mean, she had a horrible cough. Both me and John were like, that does not sound good. And at one point she slipped and banged her bum on a rock, but like lay there for a minute going, ow. And you know, then just gets up and carries on, you know, just so nails. And at other points, there was a point, I think maybe it was loop two, we thought she'd drop behind us and she just, you know, reappeared, just so much strength to sort of push to keep up with us. Yeah, so she's absolutely nails. More nails than me.
No, give yourself credit there, because I think anyone who has the courage to even face up to the Barclay has got to be pretty nails. The fact that you will willingly drag yourself through head height briars on the steepest inclines you've ever
once.
Seen. Like,
not twice, not even 3 times.
5 times, 10 times if you count last year. Like, I think it's underestimated how nails you've got to be to even face up to that. So give yourself some credit there, please.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. But Jasmine's very nails. Where was I? Yeah, loop three. Yeah, I can't remember. I think it went fairly smoothly. We saw, I hadn't seen any of these wild hogs previously, but this year.
Oh, interested. I'll do it.
That's not you know, pigs, boar.
You don't want to see them.
No, I like them.
They're big.
They're like Pumbaa from the Lion King.
I'm very like fucking that. Fast.
Yeah, they're sick.
They are actually. Yeah, one galloped up a hill away from us. They seemed nervous of us. But
not
yeah.
Not you. You're fine because you're not going to eat them. They're scared of everybody else. One would have probably let you ride it up the hill if you'd asked nicely.
That would have been useful. Yeah, we saw a few of them. I'm pretty sure they were real. And yeah, loop four. Yeah, that's when it all gets sleepy. sleepy and dark and slow and mistakes. And it's kind of like, yeah, I remember doing a long climb and being sure we were going east and we should have been going north, and just confusing and sleepy. And then you get back to...
How are you navigating? Like, there's people listening to this that have never watched the Barker film, that don't know what we're talking about. Our podcast pet, Dean, is one of those people. When we mentioned it to him, I think he actually looked for where to register. So what is the navigation system that you have in place?
System. Well, I mean, yeah, I've got a compass on my wrist and then another compass, a backup compass. Always take two maps, two compasses, two head torches. Yeah, people's races have ended because their compasses, including Jasmine's actually 1 year, she had two, but one popped, one broke. But yeah, you're having to use your compass a fair bit. I mean, John knows it so well. You know, he's done over 25 loops now.
Doesn't John run the local park run at Frozenhead State Park now?
But you are, so you're given, you're shown a map the night before, and then you write, you sort of, and some instructions, which, as I alluded to, often aren't always that helpful. And yeah, you draw your own map, or you draw your own route on the park map rather, and maybe add some bearings or any write down any instructions. And then you've got your compass out to take bearings for, especially the descents are tricky because they're long descents and then they often end up in multiple spurs at the bottom. So it's quite easy to sort of go down the wrong spur. And then John's really good at, so we all make lots of mistakes, but the key is to know you've made a mistake quickly and correct it quickly. It's not, mistakes will happen. So he was very good at like, oh, that's the wrong spur. We just turn, you know, we turn east here, because he knows it so well. Whereas, yeah, if you're on your own, you're like, oh, this isn't the right place. I don't know which way to go, which I suppose ultimately is what happened to me. You need to be good with a compass. Less than a quarter of it now is on trail, or candy ass trail, as Laz calls it. You definitely need to navigate. And I must say again, Jasmine's brilliant at navigation.
Who is it that goes and decides the route before the Barclay? Is there someone that goes out and does it and is like, this is what it's going to be?
Because obviously, well, it's not Laz.
It's not Laz now, is it?
It's not Laz.
We are in a bit of a transition. So there's a guy called Carl. And this year, for the first time ever, Carl did the registrations. And Laz has told us that, you know, he's handing, well, I don't know, Carl is taking more of a role. So I don't know exactly. I imagine they do it together roughly, but I don't think Laz himself goes out and puts the books out anymore. I think it's Carl and another guy perhaps go and hide them. Yes. So they're
so
the people.
By the time you get to loop four, so you've gone one way loop one, the other way loop two, then the other way loop three, then the other way loop four. And that's when you start to lose your shit, right? Generally.
Yes, I would say loop four is always the slowest. Even for finishers, it's always the slowest, because loop five is maybe it's the adrenaline or knowing the happiness of knowing it's your last time round, or, you know, you really are up against the deadline then. So loop five is often quicker for people. But yeah, loop four is the sleepy one where you waste time. It's happened both my times. It's been about 40. So the first loop is often eight and a half hours. Nice, quick loop. And then the fourth loop could often be 14 hours. So that's quite a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah. And how aware are you of the time? Because obviously you get given these like rusty old watches from like car boot sales or whatever.
Boot sales.
They do, don't they? There's no GPS on them. You've got no route on them. You've got no, you know, you're not.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's cool.
Oh, a camo strap.
Yeah, camo strap. Apparently this is one of the women's ones. They were men's and women's. And every year there's one that's a touchscreen one that barely works, and the idea is there. Yeah, I asked Laz, that's made up, isn't it? You're just trying to wind us up. He said, no, I promise you, one of them is like really bad, basically, and just won't work. And he sends a whole load of instructions about how to work the touchscreen one. So again, it's just another little thing to. I suppose,
and it's just—is it just a digital watch that tells the time? It doesn't do anything else.
Well, no, it doesn't tell the time, or it's set to count up to 24 hours,
yeah,
and then back to zero, and up to 24 hours, and then I think up to 12 hours. So you lose track of the time totally. Yeah, it's either light or dark, and you're 18 hours in or 38 hours in. So you get a bit confused by that as well. So that's
Here's
part
a here's a question.
My
Is there a
God.
mandatory kit?
Well, that was
Mandatory
almost
kit.
going to be my get in the bin, actually.
Great. Let's
Oh.
put that in the bin.
So, what is really refreshing about the Barclay, obviously there's no tracking, which if you know, if people would have seen what I did, then that's probably a bit of a blessing for me. But there's no mandatory kit at all either, which removes so much admin and none of this turn up a day early like at UTS.
You haven't got Lindley Chambers standing there shouting at you for having a silly hat,
Well,
have you?
I didn't want to jump on the spine, which has given me, you know, many happy memories. It's a race I absolutely love. But the kit list there is 31 items. And they load you up like it's a Duke of Edinburgh's award sort of gold hike. And yeah, and it's like 6, 8 kilograms of kit. And you know, they get, take your sleeping bag, take your tent. You don't really have to take a tent, but you know, cooker, you know, load you up with all this stuff. Now go for a run, you know, and it's like, what? How can I run with all this stuff? And it's expensive and blah, blah, blah. And at the Barclay, which is eminently more sort of risky, yeah, nothing. It's totally up to you what you take. And it's just nice to be, there may be insurance things, I don't know, but it's just nice to be treated like a grown up. So I'm not putting the Barclay in the bin, I'm putting the Spine Race in the bin.
Oh,
Tongue in
steady
cheek with a
on.
lot of love and respect for it. But yeah, it's just so nice to be treated like an adult. And it's like, you're adults, we trust you. You take whatever kit you
The
think is
thing is,
appropriate.
Damo, you are an adult, but a lot of people that run ultras aren't. They're fucking idiots. I don't know if you've been on Instagram recently, but there's loads of idiots out there. So I can kind of see why they're doing it. There is an insurance purpose, but I'm interested to know what was in. Are you allowed to take a pen? Like, so can you, like, when your watch goes to 24 hours, you could write on your Sharpie on your hand so you can write down things about the route as
You
you're
could
going
take a
around?
pen. That's a good question. You're not allowed to take any electronics apart from that watch you're given and a head torch. So yeah, because I guess they could be navigational aids. So you can't even take music for yourself.
You're not allowed to take an iPod or even
No.
like a cassette player with wired headphones.
A Sony
A
Walkman.
Walkman. A Walkman. Or mini
When are they
disc
coming back in?
player.
When are they coming back in? If vinyl's
They are
back in,
back in.
are they? Oh,
Yeah.
sorry, behind
Yeah.
me.
They are back in.
Are they? Oh.
Everyone's
You wouldn't want to
releasing
take a.
their albums on cassettes now.
Well, you wouldn't
Do
want to
we?
take a Discman, would you? Remember when like you went over a bump in the car and it would skip your CD? That would be terrible.
Remember how big they were? They were like that big. They
Yeah.
were fucking massive. They wouldn't fit in any pockets.
Did either of you make the mistake like I did of thinking mini discs might be a thing as well?
Of course
No.
I did. I had shoe
Okay.
boxes full of mini discs. I transferred everything to mini discs. I was like, guys, this is the future. But it
It
wasn't so much, was it?
lasted about a year, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently Anna recently found her iPod Shuffle
I did.
from the Great North Rider. We've been having some great times with that.
And
Oh,
my big
big
old
times.
original one as well. Oh, look at that. Damien's is smaller
Oh,
than mine.
yeah. I use these in races still. I've got about three.
That's
Thank you.
cool. They're
Yeah.
like little MP3 players, aren't they? You upload
Yeah.
your own music to them. But the
Mm.
annoying thing about that is, you've got to have stuff on iTunes, haven't you? You can't Spotify it.
Yeah.
Whereas with your phone, you can offline it.
And you can't listen to this podcast either. So we can
Can
put
you
them in the
not?
bin too.
Well, they should
Well,
go in the, that's in the bin then. Straight in the bin, iPod Shuffle.
don't put
Yeah.
it in the bin. Put it in the recycling, the electronic
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
recycling. Like the tip.
Yes.
We were talking
Not
about tip
landfill.
before you came on. We like the tip.
Not landfill.
Right. So, what is in your mandatory kit then?
Your
What are the
personal
okay,
mandatory
well, your
kit.
personal mandatory kit? What are like the five things that are in your Barclay mandatory kit that you're running around with?
So yeah, you certainly two compasses, two maps, head torch or two if you're going into some a night section, which is most loops. So those three things, and then poles are really useful for
I was going to
climbing.
ask that, if you use poles.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd struggle without them.
Yeah.
All those various people's poles were snapping and they were, yeah, hobbling around with one pole.
Yeah. How the fuck do you snap a
Pole.
pole? I don't understand this.
It's very doable. One
You're
of
not
the
trying hard enough
guys.
if you haven't snapped a pole.
All right. Well, I've never
Yeah.
snapped. Maybe my poles are better than yours. Just saying.
Yours don't see the light of day long enough, Ali. You very
That
rarely
is true.
use them.
How can you
Remember the
snap a
way, and you
pole when it's
brought them
strapped around your
out.
waist?
Yeah, exactly. So poles, your head torch, and all the rest of it, standard.
I forgot to four things, I think, haven't I?
Yeah. Do you take like a first aid
Did you
kit?
take a bivy bag? Did you take £10 in cash? What about a whistle?
A little bit.
2,000 calories minimum extra, just in case you get stuck on the side of the hill.
Windproof, waterproof, full leg cover.
And a poo shovel, of course. We
Oh
always need
yeah,
that.
and a push
That was going to
shovel.
be my next question.
No, I took a little bit of first aid, a tiny bit of first aid, but none of the other items you mentioned.
Did you take a bivy bag?
No, it's borderline whether to or not. You're actually, although it's quite a wild place, you're not too far from roads if you really get in trouble. But I must admit, yeah, if you're totally immobile, you could be in trouble. It's a borderline thing whether to take one or not.
I just would be like, I'm so fucking belt and braces. I'd be like, if I fell off, as if I'm fucking going, but if I fell off or the rock and had to blow my whistle and put my bivy back on, I would be scared if I didn't have them. I take them everywhere. I fucking take my bivy bag everywhere.
Get
It's quite
shopping,
a,
I
yeah,
suppose.
I take it to the co-op
Take
just
it
in case I
go
slip.
up. Yeah.
Very sensible.
Also, in case I forget my other bags, it's good to, you can fill it right up with all of your shopping, drag it to the car. Hello, I'm an outdoors person. What did you need to go to for a poo in the woods?
Don't recall exactly, but I didn't have a trowel.
Right.
Do you take a shit kit like Ali has, like with some toilet paper and some hand sanitizer
And some sex lube.
and some sex lube?
I mean, I forgot what you talk about on this show. Yeah, I should have been more prepared for this question. If I'm honest, I'm a sort of I'm a sort of I hope for good moss.
Wow, that's. I mean,
It's quite risky with the sawbriars.
oh, jeepers creepers. Imagine if that was accidentally got in the pants.
I
I've had
mean,
it before. I've got accidentally got bright, like bits of leaf in the pants. It's
bit
not
of
very
leaf is all right,
nice.
isn't it?
Yeah,
But
bit of leaf's fine.
yikes. Yeah,
But
so
yeah.
quite risky. I might rethink that. I mean, maybe that is my undoing.
The thing about you people at the front of the pack, you elite guys, is that you aren't out there for very long. So even if it doesn't go
You
right
don't
and you
give a
can't
shit.
wipe your bottom, then you're not going to get as bad nappy rash as people like me. You're out there for like 7,000 hours. Terribly sorry. It started raining and my office is quite loud in the rain.
Same here.
So the last thing I'm going to ask you, and then I'm sure we'll get some other questions from other people, is what did you eat? What were you eating?
Yeah, what went down really well was hummus and avocado bagels
You bloody love that, don't you? That is your fave.
with
Such a
pickle.
millennial.
We brought both me and Jasmine bought Branston pickle, not sponsored by them, but if they, you know, if they're listening, all the way from the UK because the Americans don't do pickle.
No,
Last year we
they do
found,
pickles, which are
yeah,
gherkins.
pickles, or you know, and sometimes that's a name for a dog potentially. If you really run out of ideas,
Your
but
best friend. You love her. You keep talking about her. You won't stop. Obsessed.
but we bought our own pickle as well. So yeah, pickle goes in there, a bit of vegan cheese sometimes. But yeah, those, and then also peanut butter, sorry, nut butter and banana wraps as well went pretty well. So yeah, more of the real food. Those
But what
two went
about,
well.
like, did you take anything in your bag? Like, when you're out there 14 hours, like, is there anything in there? Is there any, like, gels? Is there anything? Is there, like, tailwind, anything where you're like, I'm just going to try and, you must get fucking hungry.
Yeah, no, I took yeah as many liquid calories as I could. I always left camp with one soft flask of s s with smoothie in, and the other one with cola. And I'd take yeah powdered carbs, Villaforte powdered carbs for the. There's two water drops, so the aid stations are quite minimal. There's just a load of bottles of water dumped in the woods. So yeah, I'd put in some carb powders there. So that was one of my takeaways from last time. That yeah, liquid calories. Are useful. This time the water wasn't frozen, which was helpful. And what other foods? Yeah, I did take some gels, but they're more like emergency, you know, caffeine gels for when you're slumping, when you're bonking. What else? Villaforte bars I like.
We're big Belaforte fans here. We're
What
trying to
can I
get
say?
we think that they
Oh
should
yeah.
maybe do us a little sponsor. Give us a little.
I like those little cherry chews they do, the Amaro chews.
In fact, you know what? I just ordered £100 worth of Belaforte and used Damien's discount
Discount
code.
code.
I did.
Did. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's
Great.
okay. Backhanded to the Green Runners. But
Oh,
you
and
didn't.
vegan Kit Kats. I brought some vegan Kit Kats from the UK.
Oh yeah, the vegan Kit Kats, which
Ooh.
don't, they're disappointing. I find them disappointing. That you like them, and that's fine.
Always hating on the vegan food.
No, I like vegan food, and I do eat quite heavily vegan foods, but the vegan Kit Kats are not the same.
Hi.
Nah, it's been
Guess they're
ages
not.
since you've had a proper Kit Kat.
Yeah. The cruel
So,
world.
what was I going to say? Did you not like? How much time did you have between laps to eat? Like, did you have time to have something hot, like a pot noodle?
Oh, I did have a pot noodle. Yeah, sorry. The, I was trying to think of the other things I bought from the UK. Salt and vinegar hula hoops, because
Yes. Oh.
they do weird crisps out there. And I bought one pot noodle, and I had that between loop 4 and 5. That was absolutely golden.
Wow.
But I also made some pasta the day before. Just tomato vegetable pasta, and had a load of that. And tea, obviously, and chocolate oat milk,
I
ginger
saw you
ale.
with your little Oatly chocolate. It's
Yes.
funny, isn't it? Like everyone's looking at the photos, like, whoa, look at this scratch on their legs. I'm like, oh, he's got some Oatly chocolate. Lovely. Where'd you get that from?
What else? What else? Yeah, pasta goes down all right in the, but yeah, the first few transitions were only 10 minutes.
Wow.
Because you just need every minute. And look at Jasmine, look at her finish time. If she had spent another minute and a half in a transition, she might not have
Yeah.
made it. So,
So tell us about that. Tell us about that, like 15 minutes before she finished. Like, what was it like in camp? What was the feeling like? What was going on?
yeah, I arrived in camp a little bit self-pitying, but the first thing I said was, "Has Jasmine finished?" And it was like, "No, not yet." And I think there was about an hour, 45 minutes to go, and both her husband Conrad was there, and another good friend, Jim Mann, and they both said, "We don't actually think there's enough time," because of the time she had been at the fire tower and how she almost needed to do it as quickly, almost as quickly as the first loop. So they were both pessimistic, and most people were like, "Yeah, there's not really enough time." But we all waited, and we saw three other finishers come in to kill the time in between waiting. Then with so it's down to 10 minutes, and we're all just waiting patiently. And I remember, whether it was me or someone else, just having these conversations of, "Well, it's still amazing, even if she's only a few minutes
Oh
over,
my God,
talking
you're
about it,
already
it's
doing
still
the
amazing."
eulogy. You're doing the eulogy before
Yeah.
she's even dead.
And then there's 5 minutes to go, and we're looking basically down the road. You can see about a minute to 2 minutes of running down the road until it goes around a corner. And then someone right near me shouts "runner," which, as you imagine, is, I think I can see a runner. And we look, and it's John Kelly's oldest son in a red t-shirt. Jasmine's wearing red. He's running around the corner. And it's like, oh, what an anticlimax. Like, it wasn't Jasmine, it's
John, put your son back in the car. That's all.
And it was really, yeah, it was really crushing. It was like, just when your hopes, it's the hope that kills you, right? And so just when your hopes rise and they sink again. But then he still looks kind of excited, and he's still waving his arms around, and you can't tell, is he playing? Is he trying to tell us something? What's going on? And then she comes around the corner. And woof, I need a minute there for that. It's yeah, and I think there's 3 minutes left at that point. And I'm just staring at my watch, staring at her, staring at my watch. And yeah, she's charging up the hill towards us, and you just think, is there enough time? Is there? And you think, there probably is, but it's going to be tight. And I actually ran down a bit to try and see her, to try and say, "You've got 2 minutes, you've got 2 minutes." But she was so, yeah, I mean, her skin was kind of grey yellow, and her eyes were just, she couldn't see anyone. Like, her husband was running next to her, and I don't know if she even realized, like, she was just staring at the gate. And just charged at it. And it was,
Wow.
yeah. And then sort of, you've probably seen, I'm sure you've seen the video, sort of collapses over it, and then just tumbles to the floor. And yeah, we're all, everyone's cheering, and it's absolutely amazing. But then she sort of, it's almost like, looks like she's going to have some sort of fit, actually. So she's lying there, and sort of, she's gone into such an oxygen deficit for that last uphill. It's one of those horrible gradual uphills that ultra runners normally, a naughty, what do we call it? A naughty hike.
Naughty
Yeah,
hike.
no
Naughty
one's
hike.
looking, I'll hike this. And I promise you, yeah, we do that at the front too as well. But yeah, she's given so much in those last minute or two. And of course, Carl says something like, "Jasmine, you had 91 seconds to spare."
Spare.
Yes, as if almost like, what was the rush, and yeah, and yeah, the photographers, I think, were fairly sensitive, but there are four or five photographers snapping away. But those images that have, gone around the world, including
Yeah.
our very own David Miller. But yeah, I sent her husband back, because he'd sort of come back away from the gate, and I said, "Actually, I think she's in trouble. Go back." And yeah, we charged around to get her like a can of fizzy pop of some sort, maybe Coke, I'm not sure.
It was the red ambulance that saved the day.
Nino.
Here it comes, the red ambulance.
And then, yeah, with a few slurps of that, she was a little bit better. But it was honestly, yeah, and almost every time, we're talking a week later now, aren't we? To the day, actually. Almost every time I think of it, I'll be honest, I get sweaty eyes because it was, it was a piece of history, and it means, you know, so dramatic, and yeah, we don't have to explain what it means. It's just
in the UK, it felt like, well, in my little world, it felt of the internet, it felt like time was standing still, because everybody on Instagram, everybody on Twitter was like refresh, and everyone was WhatsApping each other, talking to each other, and then it got to like 9:17. And it all just went quiet. And someone messaged me and was like, I really hope she does it. And I messaged this person back and went, I think we can all say, like, she did her best, but she's not managed it. I just felt terrible. And then it came through, and Miller texted me. Miller said he took the shot, him and Howie took the shot, and they pelted it down to where they could get reception to, like, upload the shots so they could put them up online. I was just, in bits. I opened the No Secco. I never do that. But I was like, I felt like I needed a drink. Like, the whole evening, I was like, I feel so sick. I feel like I need a drink. And it just, the ripples of it have gone so far beyond our little world, you know? Miller said that the BBC told him that the article on the BBC website had been viewed 35 million times.
Wow.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? So it's like, incredible. Me and Anna were talking, we feel like ultra running's being like taken away from us or something. You know, like when you see a band for the first time and then they get really big, we feel like that. But but it is the fact that she's inspiring not just girls, but everybody to dip their toe into putting their trainers on is incredible. Yeah, it must have been such a moment to be there.
Oh yeah, I feel so lucky. To have seen it in the flesh, and then and then her voice, she hardly had a voice even that night. We had picture, she was hardly, everyone would go deathly quiet when she'd talk because it's like, what's she saying? But she was amazing. I felt very lucky, and you're totally right. I mean, it gets forgotten that men are equally inspired, I think, or very inspired as well. I mean, like, it was inspiring to me to think, bloody hell, that's how hard you have to dig to do it. That's how hard you work. I mean, I need to get her coaching me, I think.
I mean, her, but that's the, in a world where we live in this world where people want hacks, they want to just be the version of the person that finishes and has the medal and is like, there's no fucking medal at this race. Like, there's no hack to this race. Like, you have to do the work. And she looked so shit when she came over that line. And I loved that. I loved it because that's how you should feel. Like, when I finished the World Horse, I took a moment to like put a bit of mascara on, brush my hair, put a new buff on. So I'm going to finish this race and look fucking good on it. Like, because I was like, that's what I want people to see. But what you see there is absolute. She's pushed herself to the edge of human endurance. That's the edge of human endurance. And it's just so inspiring. So, it must have been amazing to be there. But that doesn't override what you've done, Damo, because you were so, so fucking close. Like, do you think that you're going to go back? Like, do you honestly think you're going to go back?
Well, I think in retrospect, it was really smart of me not to finish it this year because no one would be interested.
I did say that to someone.
Really? When I realised
he wants the glory and he's not going to get it, Jasmine. So he'll probably just fuck it off. He's like that sort of bloke. And then he'll write on Strava, slow training run with a friend.
trot around the woods with Jasmine.
Yeah, supporting a girl.
Supporting my client.
Dog to support client, lol.
Excuse me, I just knit back onto Strava. They're good. And also, just back to what you're saying about her putting the work in. I mean, she is one of my athletes who I do my training in Training Peak. So it has this traffic light system. If they do what you suggest, it's green. Amber if they do something but not as you suggest, or if they don't run that day, it's red. And hers is just green all the time. She really works hard. She obviously got natural talent, you know, genetic gifts. But people will know this isn't the first time she's done something extraordinary by any means. So she's very, very gifted, but she does the work. And I wasn't a fan of this when I realized she did this, but in her training, for her biggest training run, she got up at 1:30 a.m. to do it.
Yeah.
So as to have a family day afterwards, because she didn't
Oh.
sacrifice too much. And I was actually a bit like, oh, you need more sleep than that. I actually wasn't a massive fan of that at the time, but she assured me she'd got to bed early and she would get to bed early again. But that's how hard, she puts the work in.
And
Yeah,
that's how you
I
fit
mean,
it in. That's how
yeah.
you fit it in around, like, so many people are like, but I can't fit it in around my commitments and all the rest of it. And that's the thing is, like, if you are committed, you find a way. And that's, I mean, that's just proof, isn't it?
I remember listening to a podcast with her where she was talking about training the first time round, and she was like, it's the middle of the winter, it's 5:30 in the morning, and I'll go and do hill repeats on the most icy, awful, terrible hill that I can find for 4 hours. And she's like, because that's what you do when you want to really do something. And she did say in her interview at the end, it's if you really want something, you will put the effort in. But in the same interview, she also said you have to believe in yourself. And I'm like, that's what people will take, that I got to the believe, not I've put in the effort. And the effort is so huge, like, for anything, isn't it? And I think even when you're an elite athlete, the effort is massive. Like, what does your, I feel like you go dark after the spine, you go dark before you go to Barclay. Like, what sort of training are you putting in?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. The gap between the two, you've got to
I
make
mean, the
sure.
spine is sort of a training race, isn't it? Yeah.
Easy jog with a client.
Yeah. Easy jog with your son. He beat you.
Too soon.
Stop it.
What? Where would? Yeah. Well. No. I mean, I put my longer runs on there on Strava, but right up to the race, I suppose. Once I'm in America, you are really told to keep the date quiet, and obviously, if I put a run that's in Tennessee, it might be quite obvious that it's coming up soon. But then, if you turn it totally quiet, then it's also maybe it's quite a strong hint. And then you can also last year, what I did is you can upload the run, but you hide the map, and someone realized that me and John Kelly had done exactly the same run on the same day, and the weather wasn't like the UK or something, so that didn't really work. So whatever you do, people might guess if they're really keen to guess. But yeah, there is real reasons why he wants to keep the date in particular sort of secret, because they don't want lots of people turning up at camp, because it's a sort of small area and ecological sensitivity on the course and stuff like that.
Do you think
So
it was weirder this year? Was it harder this year? Were there more people? Is there more interest in it? Were there like people trying to get into the camp?
Laz did it on Facebook. He did say afterwards that a few more people turned up this year towards the end. And yeah, the crowd, when I came in and Jasmine came in, the crowd was bigger than it should have been. But I don't think, as far as I could tell, that wasn't a major problem. But I did see someone tweeted me and said they were in Tennessee and they knew it was on and they decided not to come out of respect for it. And I thought that was amazing and showed huge restraint, actually, because it'd be very tempting just to rock up. But I mean,
God, like,
most people are here, aren't they?
I dream that somebody was stupid enough to ask me to crew it, or like something will happen where I just end up, because I just want to see it. I just want to see, so yeah, it must be really difficult to try and keep people away.
But yeah, I do feel incredibly lucky, and it is quite exclusive, really, if we're honest. But there are reasons behind that. He can only have so many so much footfall. He's got an agreement with the park, I believe. So much footfall can sort of occur because it's sensitive areas and so on.
If you had
Yeah,
three
we're very
tips for
lucky.
someone training for the Barclay, right?
Oh, hang on, wait a second, Ali. We've got a really good question.
Oh, good,
This will be
good. Do
really
this
good.
question.
So this is from Cole Wood, and his 7-year-olds asked you this, Damien. So apparently his 7-year-olds asked this question to Jasmine, Nikki, and Jack Scott. So now it's your turn. And Luca wants to know, he says, when I'm 18, I want to do the spine race. What can I be doing now to help prepare for it? And he carried on to say that once he's done the spine, if he doesn't feel too bad, then he'll probably do the Barclay Book Bimble as well.
Oh, brilliant. Well, first of all, I love the way he's thinking. I think really it's just lots of easy exercise for now. Hiking is good, but running is good too. Yeah, I'll just get nice. So there's a theory that it might take up to 8 years to reach your sort of aerobic potential. So yeah, just lots of easy hiking and running for now, I would say. And of course, you could go and hike the Pennine Way. That would be decent preparation as well. Might put you off.
Do you think that's the place that's most like it? What in the UK, what's the place that's most like Barclay?
No, because the Pennine Way is not really very steep.
No.
I remember John, when he first showed me around the bits of trail there that you're allowed on, he kind of said, "Do you think there's anything like here in the UK?" And I don't think there is really. It's incredibly steep woods.
Do you remember when we went out for a little walk? I mean, it was a run, but I was doing lots of walking with the dog. And we were going up from Croydon, and you were, and I, and there was like that big steep bit with bits of stick poking out. You said it's a bit like that. Is it a bit like that? It's just like big cliff with like trees poking out of it.
Yeah. So you need cliffs and trees and steepness.
What about Snowdonia? Is
Whereas,
it like that?
well, Snowdonia doesn't really have any trees, but in terms of the climbs, I think the climbs are often, they're probably less than an hour usually. So Snowdonia is actually probably bigger in terms of the climbs. But it's a lot of 30, 40, 50 minute, 30, 40, 50 minute steep climbs, I suppose. So yeah, you could replicate that a little bit in the Lake District or somewhere, but you don't get that woody feel of like it looks the same in every direction. And that loose underground, yeah, and you sort of can't trust the ground.
One of
So
my favorite things that Jasmine said was she felt like she had to keep going because otherwise she'd have to go back and do it again. And Joe Kelty has also asked a question of you and says, what drives you to keep going back again and again for such a tough race? I mean, bearing in mind, this was your second time. It sounds like you've done it quite a few times from that question.
I think to me it's just this, it's this kind of ultimate ultra running puzzle, really. That I mean, if I was going there and only doing a lap or two, I'd maybe think, well, it doesn't suit me. But because I'm getting to the fifth loop, it's not within grasp, but it seems possible. And it's this just massive puzzle of like, I suppose the navigation is a puzzle, the books are a puzzle, the trying to get the right pacing so that hopefully you get enough time for a sleep or enough of a sort of cushion that if you make some mistakes, you can still get round, which is what I'm not able to do at the moment. So yeah, it's just this big puzzle. It's really sort of tantalizing. It's really intriguing. And Laz, you know, he's not trying to make something that's impossible. He's trying to make something that's just possible. And to me, it will be right. You know, if I can do it, it will be right at the edge of what I can do. And that's really intriguing to try and find that out, I suppose, for yourself. A bit like, you know, the whole backyard ultra concept, which is really going off, is also from Laz, and that's a similar idea, really, of just trying to find the edge of what you're capable of, which is yeah, fascinating idea. And yeah, and I just like being scratched and hungry.
Well,
I love being
clearly
scratched and
love being
hungry.
scratched. On Twitter, obviously, there's Keith Dunn, who keeps everybody up to date with his hilarious updates that, had us all on the edge of the seats, finding out about how everyone's doing, because that's the only way that people know what's going on in the Barclay, really, because it's so quiet. Do you know what your nickname is? Because at the beginning, because there's no start list. We don't know how many people start. We don't know who's on the start list. We don't know the sort of split of gender or anything like that. Keith just kind of starts filtering in little bits of information about like the nondescript guy, the tall bearded
Nondescript
guy,
guy.
and the royal looking British woman. Have you got a nickname? Do you know what he's referred to you as?
Yeah, yes and no. So the previous year, there was tall guy with mohawk. So
Oh,
I fit half of that description.
that tall.
Yeah, well that yeah, I don't
Were
think
you
I
wearing Hokas or something?
maybe I was at the top of the hill and he was down.
Perspective.
So I think I saw my Instagram bio. I was quite proud of that. I was like, guy with mohawk. And a good friend of mine has, like, when I phone him, it's guy with mohawk comes up on his phone. So I really liked that, but I'm not sure if he, I haven't caught up on all of it this year. I'm not sure if he referred to me this year or used that this year.
There
So
was, I didn't see any mohawks. I saw a tall, skinny guy in a red hat.
that's him.
I did have a red, I would have had a red buff on
Buff.
quite a bit. And again, I'm not that tall, but and Keith's taller than me, I think.
Maybe it's an ironic use of the word tall.
Well, there's a couple of things I can tell you about this, actually. I heard him on a podcast and he said that actually glasses guy from the previous year was actually John Kelly. Now, John Kelly doesn't wear glasses, but they could imagine him wearing glasses.
That
So
makes
there you go.
sense. So you
Yeah.
could be ironically not tall guy.
Yes, I suppose. Could you imagine me being tall? Maybe you could. So I
I
can't.
mean, I would love to give the nicknames out. I would like to have that job. I might apply
It's a
for
good
it.
job. So
Just
it is done with the idea of that you can regardless of your stature in status in ultra running, you can turn up, have a nightmare, and disappear again, and no one necessarily knows. So it's
No.
kind of, so it's it is quite a deliberate kind of, we'll keep your identity a mystery from the world to sort of almost protect you from embarrassment, or doesn't seem to protect me.
It's like the French Foreign Legion of ultras, isn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, or what happens. You can just do it or don't do it.
But
We're
I'm pretty sure
French.
I was, I think I was a small European woman. You are.
Not guy with very daring shorts.
Oh, I know who that was. Yeah.
Who was that?
Well,
Oh.
I don't know if I'm meant to say. If he hasn't publicly said he was there, then I shouldn't really say. I can tell you offline, but
Was it
he
James Appleton, the photographer? Because he
no.
always wears very daring shorts.
There's a, I
Yeah, he
don't know
does. He
what.
wears short shorts because he's a fell runner, so he can.
But he was, it, that was a British guy, yeah. Three of us possibly regretted wearing shorts
Yeah, I
early on.
wondered. I thought you might know who that is based on your allusion, alluding to that earlier of your short shorts and then putting your tights on.
Hannah, what would your Barclay description would be
My Barclay
of
description?
yourself? What would
Oh, I
you
don't
like it if
know.
Keith called you?
I don't know. Nondescript white brunette woman,
No, I
I
think that
guess.
you would be
Pretty
beautiful,
nondescript.
beautiful faced, nice hair lady.
What
You're
would
welcome.
yours be, Ali?
I don't want to go into that.
Came with bad
Oh, look,
tattoos.
here's the personification of regret coming around the corner. Okay,
<Ooh.
have we got any more good questions for Damo?
Tim Ashman wants to know if you have a preference of the best nickname that we give you on the podcast, because we do talk about you a lot, Damien.
We do. It's
Damon.
horrible. Damon. D Dog.
Damon.
Damon Hill.
Bridesmaid.
The bog trotting Barclay
Bog trotting
bridesmaid.
bridesmaid.
Oh, cool, I like that. Don't know if I've heard. I am behind on a couple of episodes. You'd be horrified to know what with, being away and
Clearly.
stuff.
I was going to say, why weren't you listening to them when you run? But then I realised you're not allowed, so.
No. If you could have listened to one song on repeat for the whole of the Barclay, like you had to, like Laz has brought in a new rule just to make it even more psychologically damaging that you have to listen to one,
Psychologically damaging.
yeah, one song on repeat on your little shuffle. What would that one song be?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Is it the National?
Well, no, I'm going to try and be less predictable. So there was a runner there called, he's done a blog about it, so I can sort of say he was there. Sebastian Reichon, I think you say, the French guy who's won the Tour de Glaciers twice, and he was with us on the second, I think this was the second loop. We're in the dark anyway, and we're running down. I think we're all feeling tired and hurt, and we're running on a bit of trail, which is a nice change in the dark. And he just starts singing, and he just sang for, I don't know, a few minutes, but it was just absolutely magical. We're just in these woods in the dark, all hurting, and he's singing this beautiful song, in French. So I didn't know what it was, but he did a blog on Facebook. A blog on Facebook, a post on Facebook, and it turns out he was singing "The Impossible Dream." I think it is Frank Sinatra originally, although I much prefer the Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine version. And that has become my. I just got the lyrics up this morning, and it's just so fitting. Oh, I've missed the lyrics. Where have I put it? But anyway, it goes, for those who don't know, it does say, follow your quest, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. And I just think that's very Barclay, I think. Almost the hopeless pursuit of something, the impossible dream. So yeah, that's become in my head my Barclay song. And it was
I
just a
love that. Should we put that
moment.
on the playlist?
Perfect.
Let's put it on
Yes,
the playlist.
please. Yeah, that'd be
Put it
lovely.
on the playlist. Is there any point sometimes when I'm running around, not as far as you or as hard as you, I get a song in my head and it won't go away. Now I imagine that's in normal life, you can like make it go away by putting another song on, but at Barclay you can't. Have you had that situation happen to you? Were you just like, what? How do you, when you're like, I can't fucking cope with this anymore, how do you come out of that? Do you pretend to listen to music, have a little chat with yourself?
Well, the thing, usually the thing that interrupts that is John Kelly's grunting.
Oh yeah, he's a grunter, isn't he?
He's quite a grunter.
No.
So as he gets sort of tired, so what he does it for two different reasons. One, it well, the main one is if he starts to feel sleepy, he starts grunting. I'd say they're quite sexual grunts.
Maybe for you they are.
Right,
Ali,
yeah,
does
that's a
that take
bit
you
off.
back, Ali, from when we were on the canal path together at the end of my
That wasn't grunting.
London to rugby?
That wasn't grunting.
I don't know what it
That was
was.
sobbing.
I was sobbing. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Well, that's my main, and because I spent quite a lot of time with him on both years, really, it's his repetitive sexual grunting that sort of stuck in my head. So I'd almost welcome any pop song, even if it's Barbie Girl or something, no matter how. Oh, I tell you what nearly happened. Oh, Ihor, the Ukrainian, I hung out with him a little bit, him and my Canadian friends a little bit before the race. And at some point, someone phoned him and his phone came up. I think it was being used in the vehicle and it was Baby Shark. And I don't know if that was like a friend of him
Oh.
or not, but that nearly became the song stick. Because, of course, then everyone started. Did. Yeah, it could have been that, but it thankfully wasn't because of John Kelly's sexual grunting.
What do you mean someone phoned him? Did he have his phone? He didn't have his phone on him.
Oh, sorry, no, this is pre-race when we're in a vehicle.
Okay,
A day
in the
ago.
van.
Yeah.
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 Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, actually, we just got in a van and drove around quite often. I think that's okay nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine, not a
Pre-race.
problem. Just as long as you keep your garment out the window and shake it like you're having a wank, then it keeps your
<Anyways.
cadence data going. What was I going to say? Somebody asked a
laughs>
question. They said, and this is related actually, they asked, I'm going to actually say what their name is. Hold the line, caller. About that, having no, GPS or anything like that.
Lindsay, it was Lindsay
Lindsay,
Kent.
there you go.
Yeah. She said,
About
how strange is it to be out in the middle of nowhere with no GPS or phone or modern watch, especially when our training now is generally with all the data and all the mod cons that we can lay our hands on. And I guess a secondary thing to that, like, so how strange does it feel? But also, do you practice that in your training? Like when you go out for runs, do you practice just going out with like nothing, no electronics and stuff?
I think it's actually really refreshing. There's an element of trust there, isn't there? Of like you're a grown up, and we trust you to navigate.
Awkward.
And he always jokes that it's 100% self-extraction rate from the race. So even if people have come back in police cars, which they have, they've always got back to camp without them having to send anyone out to collect anyone. Not that there's any safety team or medical team even there, as far as I can tell. So it's quite nice. It's quite, it's like you're a grown up, you're experienced, we trust you. Yeah, I guess that wouldn't work in every scenario, but it's actually really refreshing. And do I train that? I guess not exactly, but I guess it would be helpful to, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I'm always, no, I haven't deliberately trained for that, I suppose, but what I was thinking is, it's great. It is fun to go to somewhere new, I suppose, in training, and I could probably do more of that next time, if there's a next time. Go to somewhere fresh, I suppose, and that would help with navigation rather than being in the same places. So yeah, good idea. Thank you. Can they coach me? Who's
Nice.
that? Lindsay. Yeah.
Lindsay Kent. She's actually training for the Epona at the moment.
Oof.
So there you go.
That's a good race. You like that? It's the Brecon Beacons.
I've got an athlete
Yeah.
doing that. Yeah.
There
Yeah.
you go. I'm aware of time and conscious that we don't want to keep you hanging too long, Damo, because we have taken up a lot of your time and you
You're
probably.
getting bored of me. I get it. No, I understand.
No, we could probably talk about this all day. I just have a real burning urge to ask, though, because I really enjoy reading Hannah Rickman's blogs on the spine race. And the most entertaining part that I find, I mean, the whole thing's really well written. The most entertaining thing that I find that I look for is the stuff about what hallucinations she's had. So, did you have any hallucinations out on the Barclay? And what was the wildest one that you had? Sorry, Ali, I know you don't like the word wild.
I don't like the word wild. I don't like the word bimble. I don't like the word savage. I hate that brutal.
Why don't you like the word wild?
It's just fucking overused.
Everyone uses it. Yeah.
Okay. I before I get to that, if you don't mind, Anna, I've got a confession. The B word, which I've sort of stopped using, really,
Bimble.
I stole that from someone you know well.
Who? Me? That I know
No.
well.
Ali's coach.
Oh. What?
She's been very good about it, but I stole, borrowed,
Holly
borrowed.
Rush.
I'm giving
Holly
it back.
Rush coined the term bimble.
I don't know if she coined the term. It was a real name,
Wow.
but we were both. She used to be. We both used to be in the Bath Bats, And I remember her describing a run.
Were they a band? Please say they were a band. Like a goth band.
I remember her describing a run as a bimble, and I thought, and I think I openly said, I'm using that. That's good. I'm returning that word to you now, Holly. Does she listen?
Probably. Yeah, she does. And now I don't want her as a coach anymore. Have you got any spots for people?
Ask Jasmine to coach you. She's good.
Yeah, Jasmine's too.
Oh, Lindsay. I like Lindsay.
Lindsay. Yeah. Or even Pickle. Anyway, hallucination station. Hallucination station.
Hallucinations. Oh. What was the wildest one?
I always feel a bit what's the word? I feel a bit disappointing in every hour of the day, to be honest, to almost everyone I meet. But I feel a bit disappointing when people ask this because I did have hallucinations, but nothing very exciting. So I started to see people. Jasmine said she had the same actually. So I started to see kind of people, just lone people, waiting up at the top of the hill, sort of waiting for you, and then you get there and they're not there. But also some animals, and there was a dog or two, that the whole dog theme. So maybe it was Pickle. Maybe I was missing Pickle a lot.
Yes.
I remember seeing like a little dog, with the little ears. And I was literally reaching out to sort of stroke its head. I mean, normally I'd just try and kick it, but it did seem quite a nice dog. But then it wasn't a dog. So that happened two or three times. And I'm pretty sure the hogs were real because John Kelly saw both of them at the same time. But yes, some pickles, basically. I bought pickle from the UK and then saw more pickles in the woods.
Celebrities are. So you have nice ones, you don't have horrible ones.
I've never really had horrible ones. At Tour de Géant, I had like massive inflatables. So there were inflatable sharks, inflatable penguins, the Michelin man. There's a real theme to that one.
I love it. Oh, dancing around like this. That's like a Nicki Minaj video. Love it.
They were annoying though. It was annoying. It was like, I know there isn't really an inflatable shark there, but there is an inflatable shark there. Move, inflatable shark. You're annoying me.
That's cool.
That was annoying.
Right, before we round this up, what are your plans for the rest of the year? Are you doing anything nice?
Just beating myself, slapping myself around the face with a wet, big wet kipper, and lots of navigation.
Yeah,
you got your summer mountain leader, didn't you?
Yeah,
that's worrying.
Tour de Géant, I'm doing as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I might come to Tour de Géant because Kirsty's doing it as well. So I might come out and just...
Oh, is she?
Eat ice cream. Yeah, just eat ice cream and look at your drive around a car with Elson. Might come on the support crew.
Oh, that will be fun. I'll try my best to do some better hallucinations.
I mean, I can always help with that by dressing up as a ghost or something.
Thank you. I'd like that. That'd be great.
Damien, this has been so good and really insightful and really helpful. And we think I know you won't like this, but we think you're an incredible athlete, and we can't wait for next year when we interview you again after you've finished it.
Yeah.
Oh, this, okay. Thank you. You're very kind. And I enjoyed this show. Because this one will be terrible. But
before we go, Anna, it's Easter Sunday.
I know.
I've got your little present. A little Easter egg. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Do you want to open it?
Yes.
What's inside?
Oh my goodness. This is the best present ever. Thanks, Ali. What is it? Tell him. No, you tell him.
It's a sponsor.
Got a sponsor.
A sponsor has risen on Easter Sunday.
On this good Easter Sunday.
We'll put our name to this absolute shit that you put out every week. And it's Innovate. Thanks, Innovate.
I mean,
never heard of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sat looking at two of their athletes and thinking, well, I'm not surprised they sponsor this shit as well.
Well, yeah, they have agreed to come on board and sponsor us. So if you go, people who are listening, onto the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System podcast Instagram group, which is at Ultrasound System Pod on Insta, go into our little links. You'll find a little discount code that you can use if you need new kit. But if you don't need new kit, don't use it. Damien, can you just quickly tell us about Renovate before you go?
Yes, Ali, I can.
Thank you. This wasn't set up at all.
Did that sound natural? Yeah, okay. I'm pleased they've finally got around to doing this. So you can take back old Innovate kit now to their Forge stores. I think it's all of them. You can see on their website where they are. And they will, yeah, repair it and resell it if it's sort of repairable and resellable, or dispose of it well. Often the problem is shoes, but they've found a company that can sort of make sure your shoes are used in some form, even if that's sort of downcycling. It's still better than incineration or landfill. To use your
what
favorite
is downcycling?
So that would be for a shoe. That would be it'd be churned up and used like as a tennis court or in a sofa cleaning or seats in cars or things like that. So that's cool. Useful, but that doesn't count as recycling because it's not used for the same purpose. But it's still better than
upcycling, which makes it better. Same thing, but better. Yeah, got it.
Recycling's okay. a lovely idea, but I don't know how often it happens. But also, if you do that, I think you get a 20% voucher in the store for something new if you want. But yeah, it's a good step forward. It's a good step forward.
You can buy that kit, can't you? If you go down to the Forge store at Staveley, you can buy the Renovate kit, which is actually really good because if you want a new puffer or you want a waterproof or whatever, they've got all of it down there and it's all different sizes. It's really, really cool. So
and it is cheaper, I believe. So it's but that's probably the best aspect of it. So I'm really pleased they've finally brought this together. And it fits neatly, doesn't it? Renovate. Clever.
Renovate. Very, very clever. In fact, I saw a post only this morning of Jasmine's shoes from the Barclays that had the little
pair-ups.
Yeah, so the pair-ups patches work really well, listener. If you've got a little hole in your shoes, then go on to Instagram, go to pair-ups, at pair-ups, or at Three Word Runs. That's Darren, who does pair-ups, or even at the Green Runners. And get yourself some, because my shoes are covered in them, because I'm quite harsh on my shoes, and the bogs seem to eat the top of them. But I like it. It makes them snazzy. Sometimes my friend Julius, the producer, he does them for me, and he puts little lightning strikes or hearts on. Thanks, Julius. Okay, thank you for this, Damien. It's been really, really great. We love you very much. Hoping that you're going to come when Anna is doing that thing where she procreates and has a baby and do some guest presenting with me.
I'll try my best if this hasn't put you off.
No, you will be doing it. Thank you.
I'll hand you my baton.
but yeah, thank you for talking to us. Thank you for talking to us. We love you.
We love you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this Legends special episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System podcast. You can find other Legends episodes if you just go to Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Type in the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System, subscribe, like, review. And once a week, you will get a pod delivered to your device for your listening pleasure. We're also on Instagram. If you want to find us, it is Ultrasound System Pod. Facebook, we have a social group, Ultrasound System Social Group. And you can drop us an email with your wiffles, waffles, concerns, or anything else at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. We love you. Bye.